Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
Happy season 5.
Officially.
101th episode.
Yeah, 101th.
We're here to talk about the 1933 and the 2020 The Invisible Man.
We are one of Universal's famous monsters. Mm-hmm. OG.
Yeah, Dark Universe. Right?
No. Oh. I think that's a different thing. Okay. I think that was like a reboot of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Because that was, yeah, it was basically a planned reboot of the original monsters. So.
Roger.
But yeah, I don't think he was ever included in that. So.
Wow, rude.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. We're going to start with some news.
Okay.
Horror news. I'll go first.
Go for it.
I just have two little ones. Ooh. First up, I Know What You Did Last Summer, the verified X account, formerly known as Twitter, posted a picture on December 3rd, that's yesterday at time of filming, confirming that the film is finally under production.
Wow.
Yes, we got finally a picture. Yeah, seriously. We got a picture of a clapperboard and an ominous figure holding like a hook, you know, like the hook. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The hook.
And I don't know. Was it already confirmed that the movie is going to be called the same as it was before? It's literally just called I Know What You Did Last Summer. Did we know that already?
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, now
I thought
we
it
do.
Was just, that's just a stupid name.
It sure is. They also still claim that it's releasing this summer, this coming, like, 6 months from now.
So, okay. Interesting.
Good luck with that.
I believe in them.
Filming.
Really gonna pop it out. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, they still don't even have all the cast finalized.
Well, I'm sure they do. They just haven't probably announced everything yet.
We'll see.
If they've started filming, I'm assuming they have the cast locked in.
I would hope.
Yeah. You'd think.
They didn't as of a couple weeks ago.
Well, that we knew of.
I guess.
First one for me. The official trailer for the horror comedy Bloody Axe Wound has been released. So we'll link that in the description. The plot summary is a teen caught between the demands of her murderous family business and her own personal awakening. As Abby navigates the complications of her first crush, she begins to question her family's violent traditions, leading to a clash of bloodshed and identity.
Wow.
Yeah. And two people who are going to be in it, who you might know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan
yeah.
from Supernatural and The Walking Dead. Mm. And also, Billy Burke, a la Twilight,
will be in it. Billy Burke a la Twilight.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else was he in recently that we were like, oh, yeah, the dad from Twilight?
He wasn't. I said Billy Brick wrong.
Oh.
And then Wow,
an actual Billy Burke news.
Actual Billy Burke news, yeah.
Hooray.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, last one for me, super small. I mean, fun, but small. We got our first look at Jenna Ortega in Wednesday season 2.
Mm.
They still didn't give us a official release date. They just said, see you in 2025. But again, the verified X account at Wednesday Adams posted that production is complete on season 2. And then they gave us just that single frame of Wednesday walking down the stairs of, I don't know if it's the mansion or what, but she looks very Wednesday.
Yeah. I have yet to see that show.
Me neither. Or me too.
one of the two.
I also haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard good things. Maybe I'll give it a go.
Yeah, that Lady Gaga song was stuck in my head the whole time it was trending.
Yeah, which that wasn't even in the show. So.
Which is insane.
TikTok just decided that was the song that would be danced to instead of the one in the show.
Maybe they'll put it in season 2. Wouldn't that be funny?
That would be.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Nice little Easter egg for the TikTok teens.
Yeah, and me.
And you.
The TikTok teens and me.
Yeah, you can be a TikTok teen. It's like it's a mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, last news from me and
And me.
And all of us, actually.
Everyone.
Everyone in the whole world. News ceases tonight. If you missed Terrifier 3 in theaters, fear not. It's going to be released for a limited time on December 24th and 5th. Because it's, you know, a holiday film.
Wow.
Yeah, and Coming Soon has reported that these screenings are going to be including an introduction by filmmaker Damien Leone and an exclusive sneak peek at the behind-the-scenes documentary Art Attack, which is set to release on Screambox next year. So it's about the making of. So wow. Terrifier fans, you're getting fed.
Seriously?
Re-release and a documentary coming.
Yeah.
Big news.
Hope you're not spending time with your family on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Maybe it's a family outing. Maybe it's a family full of Terrifier lovers, and they're all going to go see it.
Yikes. Glad I'm not in one of those. Anyway. All right. Well, we're reviewing two films today. The original and 2020 remake of The Invisible Man. I'll give a little recap and summary of both. The first film came out in 1933. It's based on a novel by H.G. Wells. It stars Claude Rains, Gloria Stewart, and Una O'Connor. And it was directed by James Whale. In this adaptation, Dr. Jack Griffin is researching a new drug when he discovers a potion that can make him invisible. As he succumbs to insanity as a side effect of the potion, he goes on a violent rampage until he's ultimately apprehended and killed by police. This is one of the original Universal Pictures monsters. It has had a $328,000 budget, but only made $27,000 worldwide. Despite some pretty sparkling reviews, it has a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb and an 85% audience and 95% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Then just a few years ago, we got the 2020 remake, written and directed by Lee Bonnell of Saw fame. It stars Elizabeth Moss, Aldous Hodge, and Michael Dorman. We just saw Michael Dorman in Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
This version is about a woman whose ex-boyfriend stages his own suicide in order to stalk and terrorize her using an invisibility suit. It's also obviously distributed by Universal Pictures. It made $144 million on a $7 million budget, and it has very similar scores on all of the platforms as the original. A 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, and an 88% audience and 91% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the oldest film we've watched so far.
I think so.
Yeah. Right?
Because I always...
1933.
The old ones, I always am like, how old was my grandpa when this movie came out? And he would have been 9.
Wow.
I don't remember
youngster.
Him being in single digits.
Mm.
I didn't even know they had movies in the 30s.
They sure did. Yeah, this is it's definitely an old film.
Yeah. I wonder what number film it is.
In the history of film?
Yeah. Because it's probably pretty early. What was the first film? Wait, we know what the first film was. The first film was that horse from Nope.
That was the first moving capture, yeah. The earliest surviving film known today as the Roundhay Garden Scene was made in 1888. So
Jesus.
I was going to say the horse thing was in the 1800s. I remember that when we did the episode on Nope. So I was like, I think
movies
had about
around.
50 years before this movie. I don't think it was that early.
Damn.
In the history of the films. It's not even the oldest horror movie I've seen.
What's the oldest one you've seen? Frankenstein?
No,
Dracula?
I think The Cabinet of Dr. Calgary. That was 1920. I've seen that.
Jesus. My grandpa
it's a silent film. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The original Phantom of the Opera is a horror film, and that was silent. That was probably in the 20s.
Probably.
Interesting.
Speaking they weren't of making the talkies opera, yet.
Yeah. Speaking of Phantom of the Opera, the main guy in Claude Rains, he was in one of the Phantom of the Opera movies.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Although, apparently, he kind of seems like a dick, right?
Yeah, he seems like a dick. And kind of the director, too, Whale.
Oh, see, I thought he stood up for... The reason we say this is Gloria Stewart, who played oh, what was her name? The Flora.
Yeah.
Yeah, his fiance in the movie. She said that she didn't enjoy working with Claude Rains because whenever they would have scenes together, he'd like keep backing her up, like moving forward. So she had to back up into the scenery. And so she couldn't really perform. And yeah, the fact I read said that James Whale stepped in and told Rains that he had to share screen time with her. So
yeah, I just read a separate fact about somebody else who was supposed to be playing the main character.
Oh, Boris Karloff.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little bit fucked up.
Who got into a fight with, what was the story?
He didn't get into a fight. It was more so that James Whale, so Boris Karloff was the original choice for the Invisible Man.
Yes.
And then James Whale said, no, I need someone who sounds intelligent. Or it sounds intellectual. And Boris Karloff had a trademark lisp. And that's why he said that. So that is a little bit fucked up.
That's a little fucked.
Yeah. And that's why he went with Claude Rains, even though the producers weren't really sure about him. But
I feel like he did fine.
Yeah.
He overacted the least of everyone.
Yeah, I think that's just like how acting went back then.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. I'll never understand it, how we've come so far.
Movies are very different now than they used to be. And I know it's not very cinema bro of me, but I prefer where we're at now, I think.
I agree. Yeah. I will say, though, I bet it was kind of fun to come up with the, like, innovative, for the time at least, filming techniques that they did.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it looked better than I thought it was going to. This was actually my first time watching it. Oh. Because I, again, kind of tend to steer away from older movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was expecting it to look way shittier than it did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks pretty good. I guess they did kind of something similar to green screen, but not exactly. Actually, not at all. They just matched up velvet, like, costuming with velvet backgrounds to kind of get that effect of there was nothing there.
Yeah. Non-digital green screen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it was pretty effective. I mean.
Yeah.
I feel like it worked. The last scene was a little. I mean, they did what they could.
It was the 1930s.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, for back then, that's pretty good.
If I had watched this movie in 1930, shook. Well, 1933.
Great heavens.
great heavens. That man just reappeared on my television screen. Do they even own televisions? I don't think televisions were a household thing at that point,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how could they have had movies if they didn't have televisions?
Well,
because they had projectors.
You went to the cinema. You didn't own it at home.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Wild times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like the kind of mischievous vibe of the Invisible Man in the original. He was kind of like a little, like he reminded me of Dash from The Incredibles.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was very mischievous.
Yeah.
It was also much funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
When he is trying to get Kemp, he's recruiting Kemp, basically. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have a reign of terror, and we're going to start with a few murders here and there. Like, that was so funny to me. A few murders here and there. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was funnier. And also, yeah, kind of interesting that it gave off that kind of silly, goofy vibe. Because he has an insane kill count.
Yes.
For even modern horror movies.
Yes. I mean, one of them was a big group of people, but.
Yeah, I mean, you derail a train and you're going to take out, you know, 100 people.
Yeah.
But still, his total kill count is 122 people. Only four directly on screen, but still. 18 search party members off screen, the derailment of the train, which was 100. And then he dies himself. So total death count for the movie is 123. But he himself, 122 people. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Most villains need a franchise to do that.
Yeah, right? If then.
Yeah.
Oy, oy. Speaking of how funny it was, I guess the scenes of Una O'Connor, who plays the hysterical woman innkeeper, the wife, you know, towards the beginning.
Yeah.
James Whale was like laughing every time she was on screen, essentially. Said that he had always struggled to control his laughter whenever she was on screen.
That makes sense. I mean, she was very over the top. She was pretty funny.
Yeah. And they all were, but she was like especially over the top.
Yeah.
The woman who played the fiance.
Yeah.
Never in a million years would I have known that she's the girl in Titanic, or the woman in Titanic. She plays Rose.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed.
Yeah, I didn't know that until looking up the facts afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was made a year after she became an actress, which two different studios, Paramount and Universal, were fighting to sign her. And she literally flipped a coin to decide who to sign with. Went with Universal. And then by the time this movie came out, even though it was 1 year after she signed, it was her 14th film. They were pushing them out. Left and right. That's crazy. 14 movies in a year is insane.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What are you, Nicholas Holt? He's in fucking everything right now.
He is, and I'm happy for him.
Yeah. I guess the screenwriter, R.C. Sheriff, came to Hollywood specifically to write this film, went to Universal to get a copy of the book so that he could have, you know, his source material. And they're like, oh, sorry, we don't have a copy of it. But we do have several adaptations or treatments, they called them, of the book, if you'd like to look over those. And one of them was set on Mars.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind either. Maybe a sequel or something, a sequel to the new version, the 2020 version. Anyway, yeah. He did end up going and finding a copy of the book, and supposedly it's really close to the original source material, so.
Yeah, I thought about getting it and reading it. But I'm going to be honest, I tried to read War of the Worlds, also written by H.G. Wells, and I had to DNF. And it's not because it's a bad book at all. It's just the difference in the language from when it was written to now. I felt like I was almost reading another language. Like, yeah, you know, like a foreign language. And it's in English, but it's just there's so many words that have changed or changed meaning to now. That reading a book from, what, the 1800s is just, I tried so hard.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll give it another go one day, but my brain was not able to function when I tried to read it the first time. Yeah.
It's in ye old English.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Ye old British English, too. Not even, you know, ye old American English.
No thanks.
Which is even harder.
Yeah. That's not even English at that point. Too far removed.
Some of the sentences felt like that. I just book open, Google open. What does that mean?
Crazy. Another fun fact I learned about this one is that the Invisible Man performance inspired Mark Hamill's portrayal of Joker in the 92 animated series of Batman.
I love that.
Yeah, that's super fun. Little,
you can kind of see it.
Yeah, a little mischievous cackling man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Mark Hamill's The Joker.
It really is.
It really is.
Truly, really and truly.
One of the facts that I liked about the old, well, not the old, the original.
It is old also.
It is pretty old. Yeah. what, it's going to enter public domain in like 5 years?
Couple years.
Old.
Yeah, four.
But Claude Rains took his daughter Jessica Rains to see a re-release of the movie. In, I think it was 1950, and they said it was really, really cold out. It was middle of winter. It was the middle of the winter, so it was really, really cold, and he had a hat on, and he had a scarf around his face, and so you could barely see him, and he went to get tickets, and the attendant immediately recognized him because his face was covered and wanted to let him in for free, and he was annoyed at that and insisted on paying full price.
Wow. What a good guy.
Sure.
He's responsible for, actually in hindsight, a pretty big margin of the profit because there was not a lot of profit.
That's true. I don't think movies made what they make today, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they weren't as accessible.
Yeah. They're not going straight to DVD because DVDs did not exist.
Yeah. How much did it cost to go to a movie in the 30s? A quarter? A penny?
Yeah, but that's like $300 today.
Oh, shoot.
I'm kidding, but speaking of that, they did, one of the fun facts I read was about the reward that they offer in the movie. The police offer €1,000 mm-hmm. for a lead on The Invisible Man. And in 1933, €1 was the equivalent of $5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reward would have been $5,000 back then. Mm-hmm. Taking inflation into account, they did a calculation for 2022, but I did a calculation for 2024. And $5,000 in 1933 would be $122,350.39 today.
Wow.
Quite the jump.
Yeah, that's really life-changing money.
Yeah, that's what they were offering. Big, big buku bucks to turn in the Invisible Man.
Well?
He was killing hundreds of people.
Hundred of people.
A little bit more. 100 of people.
Oh, shoot. Should we rate it?
Oh. You know, we're not even going to actually talk about the other one. Sorry.
Well, we could rate this one first and then talk about the other one. Just make it two
That's
completely
true.
Separate segments. Because usually we talk about the first one and then we talk about the second one.
Second one and then we do it. Is that going to be... well, I guess you're the one that puts the chapter markers on, so I don't even have to worry about that, do I?
You do. You don't do it? I don't do it. It's done when I open it up.
Oh, well, I meant like putting them into YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I can do it. It's
fine. I mark the chapter. Yeah, I mark the chapters when I edit it.
Is that AI? Because it's real good.
No, the AI chapters are like...
ass.
Discussing 1933 inflation. I'm like, no. I actually don't want that to be a chapter. Thank you so much.
Thanks, but no thanks. Oh, shoot.
I'm absolutely going to screenshot when it does that, too, because I guarantee that's going to be a marker.
Now it is.
Now it is. Now that we've brought the conversation back to
it. Yeah.
Wait, you don't have any other fun facts?
Not for the old one.
Oh, there were so many.
I got lots for the new one.
I have two more.
Okay.
One, the Invisible Man and the Creature from the Black Lagoon are the only Universal monsters that were never used later by Hammer Studios. Hammer Studios has remade a lot of these movies or done like sequels or spinoffs of them. So Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, The Mummy, all been remade. Not this one, not by Hammer. Hmm. And then also, this movie does... I don't know if they're direct sequels. I don't think so. I think they're just spinoffs like they did The Invisible Woman and, you know, The Invisible Man Returns and all that kind of shit.
Okay.
But in all of those, he's more of a heroic character. He's more sympathetic. He's not really the villain. And so this was much more like the novel in which he is an actual true villain.
Yeah.
Killing 100 of people.
A hundred.
Hundred of people. But I thought that was a good segue fact to lead into the sequel or the reboot, I guess, where also pure villain.
Yeah, very much so. Worse even. And there was two ways they could have gone with the reboot. They could have gone comedy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or they could have gone the way they did, which was
not comedy.
Not at all. Funny. No funny. Yeah.
All right, well, do you want to rate the original
before
we move on?
Let's do it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
A 1 out of 5.
Yeah.
It was funny and a little silly.
It was silly.
I did not feel scared.
Yeah.
What about you?
I didn't even think it was funny. I thought it was silly.
Oh, I thought it was funny. Okay. I laughed out loud when he said a murder here and there. That's funny.
Yeah, okay. That was pretty funny. Okay. I don't know. You just can't convey scary tone in black and white with that sound quality and score. So 1 out of 5.
Yeah. Yeah. How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 1.5.
Oh, okay.
I like the idea of not having to look at a guy. Yeah, I don't know. There's just a little bit of a vibe to it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 1 out of 5.
Okay.
Because the idea of not getting to look at a man, but having to hear, like, listen to him is so much worse.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. How fucked up did you think it was?
A 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't anything too crazy. High kill count, but mostly off screen, so.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What about you? Godzilla kills that many people just stepping on them. It's not that impressive. I don't know. The fact that this was rated R is fucking crazy to me. The yeah. fact that we obviously keep, like, upping the requirements to rate things R very clearly, or we're getting, like, what's that word?
Desensitized?
Yeah, desensitized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think as technology improves.
Yeah.
And also what we experience, you're right, we get desensitized. Whereas when this movie came out, you probably didn't see a lot of that stuff. But now, movies like Terrifier 3 are box office hits, and you've seen it all. So.
Yeah. 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 But anyway, I gave it a 1 out of 5. Fucked up.
Yeah. Overall, what did you think?
I didn't think it was bad. I did think it was The Fly, but worse.
Okay.
Very, very similar to The Fly. It's a man doing experiments and they go wrong and he has to hide from everybody until he figures out a way to do it. But he doesn't figure out a way to do it and then he dies.
It's fair.
So very similar to The Fly. I will give it some credit for its historical and pop culture impact and relevance. As well as it just was a little ahead of its time in terms of effects. So overall, but it is old. It's overacted. I give it a 2.
Mm.
Damn. 2 out of 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I didn't mind this.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I thought it was really funny.
Okay.
I don't think that was the intent, but I was getting some good giggles here and there. I'll be honest and say I did watch it on 1.5 speed because it was made in the 1930s.
Yep.
However, like you said, gotta give it some credit for what it did for cinema. Mm-hmm. The special effects, not as shitty as I thought they were gonna be.
Nope.
Overall, I gave it a 3.
Nice.
I didn't mind it.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't capture my attention as much, I don't think.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all right.
I'm not judging.
No.
At all.
No. You would never.
Not on that. I'm never a defender of old movies. Sorry. All right, should we dive into the remake?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I have a scene I'll complain about to start.
Okay. Love that.
I mentioned it while we were watching it. We watched this one together. We don't get to do that very often. It was very special.
It was.
The ladder as a gift. Like, the whole, like, establishing that there's a ladder in the house was not necessary to me. That was annoying.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. It very much bothered you.
It did.
But I felt like that is just how movies are made a lot of the time. Is establishing shots that then lead to something, you know?
Right. But a ladder is a very normal thing to have in a house. Lots of people have ladders of some kind, especially when they have an attic.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I think the ladder was more so to set up why they had all the paint and all that kind of stuff, more so than just the ladder itself.
Okay.
Well. It was for the home improvement, which then led to, you know, the paint that she throws on him and that kind of stuff. So I didn't see it as really
annoying like I did.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the thing in Quiet Place where they're like,
no.
Don't talk. He can hear?
No, that was more egregious because they literally everything that they are writing to show you as if it's a book, they had already showed us.
Yeah.
We already knew. That was crazy.
Well, whatever. I didn't like the latter scene.
Is it, yeah.
Is it plural?
I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's okay. Really yeah. diminished the value of the film.
Yeah. I'll let Lee know that you just want no establishing shots at all.
Well, I want establishing shots when they're necessary.
No, we don't want to know that there's paint until she's throwing it on him. We don't want to know anything that's in the environment. Take the pen out. Her getting the pen and the sticky stuff. Take that out. We don't need to know. She
that's
just has a pen.
That's necessary. Also, the paint, we already established they were remodeling their house, obviously. And paint is a very normal thing to keep in your attic. Oh, my God. Exhausting.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
This was filmed in Australia.
A choice?
Well, Lee Whannell is from Australia, so.
Oh.
He is Australian.
An easy choice.
Easy choice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He has a pretty good American accent. I didn't know until I watched behind the scenes stuff of Saw, like years and years ago. But when I first saw him in Saw, I did not know that.
Interesting. I also forgot that he was in Saw.
Adam.
Yeah. I forget.
I miss Adam. Anyways, the whole point of me bringing that up is because pine trees are not native to Australia at all.
Nope.
And so when she's running through the night among pine trees, no, it was shot at a place where they grow them for furniture. And they also have pine trees. But luckily it was nighttime, so they... Yeah, I think they're called plantations in Australia, but I don't like that. So obviously, it's not the same as American plantations.
Yeah.
But but yeah, so there were also pine trees that were in perfect rows. And so he said that he was very glad that they shot that at night where you couldn't really tell.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like pines generally grow in pretty uniform rows. They don't have to be very sporadic.
No, but I also feel like there's a pretty clear difference between a tree nursery growing and a forest.
Yeah, I suppose. We couldn't tell.
Yeah, because it was dark. Yeah. The focus wasn't on that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first name of the main character, Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this one. I don't know if this was like intentional or if somebody just decided this later, but Cecilia is derived from the Latin casus, which mm-hmm. means blind or eyeless. And they call her C, like C.
Because she can't see him.
Yeah.
Ah.
Blind. C. That's a good one. I liked that one. That one.
That is good. That's a good fact.
Good fun fact.
Great fun fact.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of seeing, did you see Billy in the movie?
Yes, I did see Billy in the movie.
Me too.
I love how you forgot that he was in Saw.
Who, Billy?
No, Lee Whannell. And then there's an Easter egg of Billy from Saw. Well, it didn't click still.
I knew that he directed Saw.
He didn't direct Saw, so.
Oh. Did he write it?
He wrote it with James Wan, who directed it.
Okay, I knew he had a part. I just didn't know that he, a part of
the yeah.
movie. I just didn't remember that he was in it.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you what he looks like.
He's the guy in the bathroom with Cary Elwes.
That's not helpful. I saw that movie so long ago.
Do you want to have a Saw marathon with me?
Yeah, I've been saying that. We've been saying that.
Okay.
125th episode.
Saw marathon.
All the Saws. Saw franchise. Saw. Are there 11?
No, there's 10. There's going to be 11 next year, even though they told us it was going to be this year.
Who? Who told you that?
The company that owns them.
Atomic.
Is that Atomic?
That's James Wan.
I don't know if there's... Yeah, but he created that after Saw, right? Lionsgate.
Lionsgate owns Saw?
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Who knew?
Google.
Yeah. They usually do.
Yeah. Anyways.
When the trailer came out for this, people were kind of mad.
Yeah.
They were like, you spoiled the whole movie. And then they saw the movie and they were like, wow.
You didn't spoil the whole movie.
You didn't spoil most of it.
Yeah. I will say horror movies always do this. They always spoil the best jump scares in the trailer, and I'll never understand it. But they spoil the latter one where she pours the paint on it. That is in the trailer, which I was sad about. But yeah, I think the whole brother aspect that comes into play was not obviously included. So that was probably enough of a twisty sort of plot device that people weren't as mad.
Yeah, that one really got me. Both throats getting cut really got me. The sister, I audibly screamed.
Yeah. It's a very shocking scene.
Yeah. Just to like establish this like safe scene. They're like in this busy restaurant. It's well lit. Lots of people bumbling around. The funny little waiter. That wasn't a jump scare, but that was by far the most shocking scene. I feel like there was one more. There was one more big reveal. Oh, her killing him.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, 1L even has talked about how he likes kind of weaponizing your knowledge of movies against you when you're watching it to kind of subvert your expectations. So that was one of the things, setting up a well-lit, crowded area where you think you're safe and then having the sister die. And then also just all of the scenes, especially the opening scene where it'll pan to areas that are completely empty and then pan back and you expect something to be there, or there's a lot of mirrors and you expect a jump scare. You expect his eyes to open and none of that happens. And I think it was done really well, because I remember the first time I watched this, that's exactly what I kept expecting. Yes. I just kept waiting for him to wake up. And he does eventually, but not like at the moment you almost least expect it when you're, you know. You've already gone through all of that tense opening scene. Yeah, just kind of back to the trailer. I did think it was funny that Jason Blum, I'm going to say his name right. I swear I will.
Jason, we're on a first name basis, bro. Jason. Figure out how to say your last name.
Me and Jason, we're like this. But no, Jason Blum admitted that he was pushing for more of the story to be revealed. And he was very happy that Lee Won L would not let him do that. So, shout out to Lee Won L.
Yeah, good job, Lee.
Yeah.
Way to stick to your gut.
Love you. In a
love you mean it.
Platonic, I don't know you type of way. To be clear.
The other thing with like the camera angles, I know you were like explaining how they were meant to make you think something was going to be there and then it wasn't. I also got the exact opposite effect, where there wasn't anything there, but you knew that he was there.
Yeah.
Just because of the camera angles. That was so smart.
Yes.
Just the way that he was able to do both. He was able to subvert your expectations. You think something's going to be there in one scene, and then in the next scene, you know something is there. You know that he is standing there. Crazy.
Yeah. And they've actually said he's in a lot of those shots.
Yeah.
They just green screened him out, which was unnecessary to do, but I kind of love that they did it.
Right?
Yeah, Oliver Jackson Cohen, who plays Adrian, said, I'm there more often than you think. Which is so almost just creepy to even think about.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lee Won L was like, no, only we know which scenes he's actually in, which ones are just there to kind of make you think he might be there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know.
The scene where, I don't know if this is confirmed. I wish I had time, but there's a director voiceover version of the film where he's like giving fun facts throughout the whole film. What is that called? Commentary?
Yeah, director's commentary.
Yes. And I don't know if this was him saying this or if this is like fan speculation. But anyway, in the scene where Sydney wakes up and like sprays the man, it all moves too fast for the one that she sprayed to be the same one that starts attacking her. So they're both there.
Yeah. I don't know if they've ever come out and confirmed that, but there's a lot of moments like that where it's on rewatches, it's very clear to see that there has to be two of them. Yeah, it's that scene because she runs out of the room and then is hit by another. So he was behind her.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where Cecilia's character leaves a place, but he beats her to wherever she's going, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. Or she pours the paint on him and then you see the paint in the sink, but he wouldn't have been able to wash it off in time.
Right.
And then he's completely invisible again. So just things like that where it's, yeah.
Obviously both of them.
Yep. Yeah. There's also another little kind of Easter egg, I guess. I don't know. But Cecilia accuses Tom of being the jellyfish version of Adrian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when Sydney is attacked in the house, she's wearing a shirt with a jellyfish, which is kind of a little nod that it's Tom and not Adrian who's doing that attack.
Yep. I like that one. I actually caught that. Yeah. The jellyfish shirt. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. Didn't she just say something about a jellyfish? But I, still, when she took the mask off and it was Tom, I was like, oh.
Yep.
Shit. Armie Hammer. Bleh, and Alex Skarsgård were both up for the titular role.
Yep.
I wouldn't have minded Alex in it. I didn't know. Who is this guy that played Adrian?
Oh, is he you're not familiar?
I don't think so.
Oh, you are. Oliver Jackson Cohen plays Adrian, and you know him as Luke from The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, he's the adult you're so Luke. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, the drug addict.
Yes.
Okay,
recovering.
I'm just confirming. Yes, sorry, he is a recovering drug addict.
Yes, he's the youngest of the Crane siblings in Haunting of Hill House, the miniseries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember. He looked familiar, but like in the way that most men look familiar because they all are men. You know?
Great. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say in the way that every man on American Horror Story looks the same.
Well, because they do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's like Evan Peters. And then five of the same looking man.
Correct.
It's weird.
They have
Ryan
a type.
Ryan Murphy definitely has a type.
Yep.
Yeah.
He sure do.
He sure does. Yeah.
Oh, Ryan.
He must be stopped.
I just wish he was like...
a better person?
Better. I was going to say more consistent, but better incorporates both. Yeah, better.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about him.
No, never. Except for the one time we were.
Yeah. Something fun for me, because Paranormal Activity was kind of one of the first horror movies that ever scared me and I watched.
Yeah.
But Lee Whannell took a lot of inspiration from the kind of minimal low budget effects of mm-hmm. Paranormal Activity and said that minimalism was very effective and he wanted to kind of emulate that in this. And he even went so far as to take inspo from with the coffee grounds on the floor.
Yeah.
From the flower on the floor in Paranormal. Which was fun. I noticed that immediately, so it was fun to see that confirmed in the fun facts.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Paranormal Activity definitely is an invisible monster type of movie, so.
It's a paranormal. You know.
Yeah.
This is sci-fi.
Well, yeah. So if you remember, I didn't say... it was.
You said an invisible monster. This isn't an invisible monster. This is sci-fi.
With an invisible man who's a monster.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's okay. He's a monster, but he's not
he's a monster.
Monster.
Yeah, but that's why it works. Because it's like double meaning, you know?
I suppose. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kind of on that note, I do think that this was a very effective modernization of an old movie.
I agree.
It was a very fun take on the original source material, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I feel like it just kind of upped the sci-fi angle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the whole idea of it being a camera suit that reflects the environment and does that rather than just, you know, he took a potion and now he's invisible is definitely, for me, a better idea, just because it is a little bit more grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little futuristic for my taste, but I get it. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But that's why I think it's more grounded, because, yeah, it's not something that exists, but it's something that conceivable... It's conceivable in our current state, you know?
Yes.
Not that we could actually do that, but just that it's a little bit more feet on its ground rather than, I mixed some chemicals and now I'm invisible.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
There's a couple little Easter eggs for the original film.
Mm-hmm.
One, the password to Adrian's door is 1933. 1933. That's when the original movie came out.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out what word it spelled, and then I gave up.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just the year.
I was like, that has to be something. They're zooming in on our fingers too much. That's got to mean something, but then I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. But then, yeah, there's also when Cece's asleep in the bed and Adrian's taking photos of her, she wakes up and she sees the hat and the trench coat on the stand,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing, but it is kind of a nod to the original design that he wears that big trench coat and his hat's on. And then, again, when she's in the hospital, there's a patient that gets brought out on a stretcher with his face all wrapped, which is another nod to the original design. So.
Cute.
Yeah, just a couple little nods to the 1933 version.
Yeah. There was a nod to The Conjuring, too.
Yeah.
The blankie.
Yeah.
Which was another where I was like, oh, this is going to be a jumpy. And it wasn't. And that was almost mm-hmm. scarier.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie's very much a lot of tension mm-hmm. and a few jump scares, but not an overabundance.
Yeah, the only one that I knew was coming, and it's not even because I saw the trailer, was the latter one.
Yeah.
And I had my little volume down. I was safe. I was safe and sound. Didn't even get me. Ha ha ha. Take that, Lee Wan L.
I think that one, I mean, it was spoiled in the trailer, so I knew it was coming. But I think I would have known it was coming anyway. I think it was more... not about if it was going to happen,
yeah,
but about how far up the ladder he was. Oh. He was too far up the ladder.
Yeah. Oh, funny.
Yeah.
that was about the time where I was like, oh my God, she's finally going to get somebody to believe her. And then it took so much longer still for someone to believe her. It was just like, oh, so frustrating.
Yeah.
Very much ties into the whole, like, abuse thing where
mm-hmm.
she's just begging someone to listen.
Yeah. If you ever tell me that a man is stalking you but he's invisible, I will believe you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm just kidding. I'd believe you too.
All right, note to self, do not go to Katie in case of emergency.
I'm joking. Of course I'd believe you.
Thank you.
You don't believe in ghosts, so if you were like, there's an invisible man, I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. You'd come over and I'd see you, like, sneaking my Ouija board out of my house. And I'm like, Katie, it's not a ghost, it's a guy.
funny. Oh, another fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where she's cutting her wrist.
Yeah.
Trigger warning. Should have said that before, but I'll say
yeah.
It now. Just for posterity. Had to be cut from the Australian release of the film because that would have made it the American equivalent of NC-17, or I guess the Australian equivalent of what in America is NC-17.
Yeah.
So there's an extended edition in Australia that is just that 30 seconds extra. Which is crazy because there's actually quite a few deleted scenes. I watched a bunch of deleted scenes.
Yeah.
On IMDb. They're just kind of sitting there on IMDb. Mm. I don't think they would have, like, added anything. But, like, you could put those in, too.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
They were just like, here's what the Americans got. Enjoy.
So technically, we got to watch the extended edition today.
Nice. Yeah. It's like, it'd be like when you watch. It would be like when you watch the PG-13 version of Megan and then you watch the director's cut and it's like the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was crazy. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
We watched the director's cut.
And we were like, okay, let's go and watch the director's cut.
Yeah, bro. All right, PG-13 version down. Let's watch the gory version.
Oh my god. Yeah. I hope the second one is a little more, you know?
Yeah.
From the spinoff.
I would hope, but they found their audience with PG-13, so I think that they'll probably go for it. But
That's true.
That's fine. Not everything can be for me, you know.
But all their
PG-13, not that it was I liked it, but
yeah. All their PG-13 people are can go into our movies now.
That's true.
It's been a while.
Well, how long did that come out? I'm like, not all of them, but
2022.
That's only 2 years.
Yeah, I guess some of them are 15. You have to be 17.
Got to be 17.
What a stupid age. Why not 18 or 16? Things happen when you turn 18. Things happen when you turn 6. Like, it's the only thing that you have to be 17 to do.
Maybe that's why. They thought 17's a boring age. We got to give them something. It's rated R movies.
Yeah. My first rated R movie was A-Team, which is not even rated R, but there weren't any R-rated movies that I wanted to see, so we just saw A-Team instead.
So your first rated R movie was not a rated R movie?
Yeah.
Great.
I think actually my first one was Gran Torino, starring Clint Eastwood. An excellent film about the story of Christ.
Okay.
What?
Sure, yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, you know, class, racism, but I guess, yeah, Jesus too. That's fun.
There was great classism and racism with Jesus.
There was. That was 2008.
Yeah. I was pretty old.
You were 15?
Really? So I wasn't that old. 18 didn't come out until I was 18.
Why did you act surprised as if you can't do the math? Do you know when you were born?
No, I needed you to do it for me. I hadn't processed it yet.
Yeah, 2008, we would have been 15.
Wow.
I think it's crazy that, yeah, that was your first rated R movie.
Why?
I think my first rated R movie was Before I Moved to Iowa, which was pre-10.
Yeah, couldn't have been me.
Yeah, I don't know. I do remember, though, my mom took my sister to see Monster, starring Charlize Theron, because she didn't know what it was about. And she said that was really uncomfortable because my sister was young. That movie's about Eileen Wuornos. Killing a bunch of people. So
I forgot who that was.
Oh, she's like maybe one of the most prolific female serial killers. Yeah. And like, I'm not gonna say she was right, but
We hate men here.
What other fun facts do you have?
I think that's enough.
You're done.
Yeah, I'm ready to rate it.
Over it.
Well, there's actually one more. There's one more. You are physically near him.
Right now?
No.
In the scene.
When he says that, in that scene, yeah. Like, and then he's like, oh yeah, he's in that urn over there. But he was probably there.
He could actually have been actually there, yeah. It definitely adds new meaning to that line.
I agree.
Yeah, but another kind of line that could take on a double meaning once you understand was when Cecilia, Sydney, and James are celebrating because she got the money and she's going to pay for Sydney's school. You know, Sydney wants alcohol and Cecilia's trying to push James to let her have a glass. And he's like, whoa, 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 this isn't fair. It's two against one. Ooh, yeah. And so that's kind of also another little double meaning once you know it's both brothers against Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
My last fun fact, since you got to throw one last in. Lee Wanell talked about how they used obviously a lot of CGI because they had to edit out an entire person for tons of scenes, but also they tried to use a lot of practical effects too. So there'd be, you know, a stunt guy sitting in a cabinet and he'd pull it with a string or something like that. And he just kind of said, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how you get it done. It's just how it looks in the end, you know? Mm-hmm. So I liked that. I liked that they used a mix of it.
Yeah.
There's also a behind the scenes on YouTube of them filming the kitchen scene, the whole yes. fight sequence.
Yep.
So we can link that too, but it's really interesting to watch seeing the green screen person there with her while they're doing everything is kind of cool.
Yeah. And that's the only thing I'd seen about this movie was that on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Filming in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I will admit every time she went to the kitchen, I was like, something's bad. It's happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 2.
Okay.
Because I do remember the first time I watched this, I was very on the edge of my seat. There's a lot of tense moments. There's a lot of expecting something to happen, which definitely kind of creeped me out the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I also gave it a 2.
Nice.
Yeah, lots of tension. Not overwhelmingly so, though.
No.
And then interestingly, I just thought I would note, there was a scene in this that reminded me of that scene in Annihilation that really fucking gets me. The bodysuit scene, you know, the green,
that's
what you call it. I genuinely think it's the music in Annihilation that made it so scary, because in this, it was not scary to see him in his little suit. That just didn't bother me. But anyway, I gave it a 2.
That's exactly how I would deal with him. What? Oh, you and your little suit.
That would honestly probably really hurt him.
That's true.
He's a man with big feelings.
He is. He does not know how to handle them at all. All right. How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 2 for Aldous Hodge only.
I gave it a 1.5 for him only. But not because he's not sexy. Just, you know, I usually give 0.5 per person that's sexy. Oh. So.
That's fair. Yeah, he's real good looking.
He is very good looking, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't know he was Alex Cross. Ray, is that who he is, Alex Cross?
I have no idea. I don't know as though I've ever seen him in anything else.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
No, that's not true. He's in Hidden Figures. But I saw that movie once, like when it came out. So I don't really remember a lot about it, except for like Taraji P. Henson and Octavia Spencer's performances.
Which were... I've only ever seen that movie on TikTok. As much as it's like exactly my cup of tea, but
does kind of seem like a movie you would enjoy.
Yeah. I've enjoyed everything I've seen of it, which is I think probably 2/3 of it. Anyway.
Great.
How fucked up did you think it was?
Sorry.
You just do a line. Thought of...
Yeah. gotta keep going for the rest of this. Yeah. No, I thought I was going to sneeze, so I was, like, trying to stop it before it came out. What did you... Fucked up. I gave it a 1.5.
Oh.
Mm. The 0.5 is just for the abuse aspect. Yeah. That's very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. The domestic violence of it all.
Yep. What about you?
I gave it a 2.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that I would not put it past a man to do this. I think if there were a man who was smart enough to make that suit, I think if my abusive ex was smart enough to make that suit, he absolutely would have been fucking trailing me around. I know it.
Yeah.
He was putting trackers on my fucking car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Men would do that, and that's fucked up. And then just Elizabeth Moss's portrayal of like the grief and the anxiety and the paranoia was very good.
Mm-hmm. She's a fantastic actress.
Yes, she's very good.
For a Scientologist. crazy. I don't understand it. I never will.
Yeah. Well, you gotta experience abuse to be able to portray it very well. So.
Damn.
Yeah. 2.5.
I don't even think she knows. She doesn't think it's a cult, though. But yeah, that's a very fair point. Like, you know, not that everybody needs to know my business, but I've never been in this situation. So I'm sure I would find it a lot more fucked up if I had been in a similar situation as her, for sure.
Sure.
Also, fun fact, I don't think that this is ever confirmed either, but the theory is that he tracks her using the shock collar that she took off the dog and put in her purse at the beginning.
Yes, I saw that.
I know, which I thought was interesting because that was always a question that I had, was how did he know that she was there? Because the note that she got for the inheritance was already in the mailbox before the sister got there. Because mm-hmm. the idea is that he tracked her through her sister, but
yeah.
It was already there. So he already knew she was there. Anyways.
Yeah, hard to say. They did make a big to-do about her taking the collar off and putting it in her purse.
Yeah, which first watch, I just thought that was, she was just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think I felt like it was just kind of another nod to the abuse that she was facing, was he also, you know, not that a shock collar is inherently abusive to a dog, but, like, the idea of that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, overall, what did you think of the remake, reboot?
Yeah,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, reboot. It's so good. Such twists. Such turns. Girl power. The power of friendship. just incredible performances by everyone. Very effective and creative use of the cinematography, like the camera stuff was just very incredible. Super fun watch. I would recommend it to literally anyone, whether you're a horror fan or not. I gave it a 4.5.
Nice.
I really, really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
I do really love this movie. I think it's fantastic. The performances are fantastic. I think I have a little bit, like, some plot issues with it, but not enough to really detract from it. Like, him just, like, I think he either was at the house with his brother while that was happening, which I think we know because she wakes up, sprays him, and then gets attacked again, somehow makes it back to his house, ties himself up in his own, I don't know, that whole part was a little bit messy for me, but it really doesn't take away from the experience. It's a movie. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm willing to excuse it because otherwise it's a very well shot, well acted, interesting, creepy movie.
Yeah.
That I really enjoyed watching.
Definitely one of the better remakes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like this much more than the original.
Yeah, of course.
The original is a product of its time, you know?
Yes.
I respect it.
Yeah. Very much a product of its time.
All right. Would you survive either of them?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that for the first one.
I know. I kind of forgot. But we can do it now. Would you survive it?
Yeah, I think the first one. I'm not one of the people that are, like, getting in his way, you know?
Yeah. The people on the train.
Well, I'm not on a train. That's for fucking sure.
Won't catch me on a train.
Yeah. Which is funny because I was literally just talking to
talking about
how much I like going on the train. But not in the 30s, I'm not on a train. I'm on a train when I have, like, a sleeper cabin to myself and they're bringing me food and I'm eating and sleeping and watching the ocean go by.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah, and then for the new one, I'd say I'm living. Not a lot of people die, so.
That's true.
Only the bad guys die, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm alive. How about you?
I like it. Yeah, I think the original, I'm good because, like you said, I'm not really getting involved. I think if there's an invisible man running around, I'm going to lay low, and I'm going to hope they apprehend him. And then for the remake, I hope so, because he doesn't really, I mean, there's a couple times he attacks her, but I don't know, to me, I think his plan was always to kind of frame his brother and to, like, get her back.
Yep.
And I'm killing him in the end, just like she did. That was the move. That's what I'd do. No question. Mm-hmm. So I think if that's the plan and I make it there, I'm doing exactly what she did.
Yeah.
And committing a murder.
Yep. Smartly.
Yeah. Correctly.
Brain. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind that that was the correct course of action that she should have taken.
James agreed. The power of friendship.
Yeah. You could see it too. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
My best friend just killed someone. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say a word.
No. I'm just going to mind my business.
Mm-hmm. As you should. Yeah. Okay. Fun.
Yeah. Good pick.
Thank you.
I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know this was like one of the classic like monster films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the OGs.
Yeah, super fun. I thought we were going to be watching a movie from like the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
And one from 2020. So it was a fun, fun surprise to see the 30s pop up.
Yeah. This actually got switched too.
What do you mean?
I didn't originally have this on the schedule.
Oh.
But I switched it because I originally had It Chapter 1 and 2, the new ones. Oh. But I pushed those back because we just did Terrifier, and I was like, that's too many killer clowns in one go.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, because of the Terrifier release, which we wanted to do around the time of the third one, I was like, well, we'll do that. And then I pushed It Chapter 1 and 2 until a couple months from now. So you'll still hear us talk about it. Don't worry.
Yeah. I could have used a clown cleanse, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Nah, that's all right. This is better, probably, I'm assuming.
Okay.
It was really good, so.
It was, yeah, very good. All right, you have already read the book for next week's movie.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to guess the plot?
Sure.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, next week we're going to be talking about the new movie, Night Bitch, which came out last Friday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday of release. So yeah, this Friday when we're filming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Night Bitch starring Amy Adams. And I do kind of know a little bit about it. So I think it's about Amy Adams is an artist, I think. And she decides she's going to be a full-time stay-at-home mom instead. She's going to take a break. And so she does that. But then I think she starts losing time at night. So, like, she'll wake up and, like, stuff has happened. Or, like, she'll wake up with dirt on her and be like, what happened? You know, what's going on? And then I think what's happening is that she's acting as though she's a dog at night. I think that that's what's happening because the stress of being a stay-at-home mom and being kind of secluded from people, not being able to be involved as much, like, she has to be... I think it's a feminist take on the pressures of being a sole parent, basically. That's what I gather from it, is that it's a very mom-based movie. So I'm assuming this kid is... I'm going to guess it's like a baby and it's crying all the time and very needy and she's not getting enough sleep. And then the pressures of that make her act dog-like.
Yes.
Great. I did it.
Yeah.
Wait, really? Kind of?
In the right vein.
Nice.
It feels like you watched the trailer.
Well, I didn't watch the trailer, though.
Well, that's what it feels like.
I did read the little synopsis.
Yeah.
And I saw the poster. And it's called Night Bitch.
It's called Night
Bitch. So.
At night, she's a bitch.
At night, dog. Yep. I'm excited, though.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a comedy, right? So.
Yeah. The book's hilarious.
Yeah, I wanted to read the book, and you told me not to.
Yeah. I mean, you can.
She won't let me read the book.
You can. You're more than welcome to. To your point, I just don't think it'll be as... To one of the points that you made, I won't tell you which, I just don't think it'll be as funny to you as maybe it was to me.
I think the only possible point that I could have made is that it's about motherhood.
Yeah.
That feels like the thing I mentioned that you've experienced that I haven't, unless you act like a dog at night. Which, I have spent some nights with you, so I feel like I would know, but...
Yeah, I guess that's true. Have you ever seen me at night? You see me sleeping?
We've shared hotel rooms, so yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're so right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our episode on The Invisible Man. Both of them. The Invisible Men. Dose. Yeah, thank you for listening. Feel free to like and subscribe.
Please.
If, you know, you are a nice person in your heart. And we'll see you next week when we talk about Night Bitch.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.